Dr. Stephanie Jones is with us from Pinches Medical. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Good. That's good. We've sorted our medical issues. We're all right.
Sorted.
So what's going on at the moment in health and wellbeing this month?
Well, at Pinches, we've got a real focus on preventing ill health this month. So I don't know if you're aware, but it's Back Care Awareness Month. So look after your back.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, people who are at risk of back pain, how to manage that, how to prevent it. Also, obviously, vaccines. I mean, it's flu season. You can tell it's freezing outside. It's nice and warm in here, thankfully. But if you've been offered a flu jab from your local GP, you know, please do make an effort to go, because it's really important that we vaccinate as many people as possible to prevent an outbreak. So, you know, get that flu vaccine. And if you haven't been offered one for free, you can just buy them. You know, we've just got our stock in for all the people who want to buy flu jabs. So get your flu jabs and make sure you're protected from that terrible thing. You don't want to miss Christmas.
No, absolutely, you really don't. I mean, I had flu a long time ago, and I wouldn't wish it on anybody.
It's miserable, and loads of days missed off work from it. And I missed Christmas one year. That's why it's fresh in my mind, and I'm not going to do that again.
No, absolutely. Obviously we're looking at different vaccines as well. What other vaccines are we looking at today?
Well, in the news recently, you might have heard of the HPV vaccine.
Yes, I have,
So the reason it's in the news is because it's just since September this year, it's been introduced to boys in year 8. And you might know that it's been available for girls for a bit already, but boys are being offered it in year 8. So that's 12 or 13-year-old boys at the moment.
And what is HPV?
Well, it stands for human papillomavirus. It's actually a sexually transmitted infection, and it's responsible for almost all of the cervical cancers that we see. And that's why it's been offered to girls for a long time. But over the years, we've realised that it's actually responsible for lots of other types of cancers. So it also causes genital warts, and it causes lots of other cancers in those areas.
Mm.
It's also responsible for some mouth and throat cancers. So it's a really big, important risk factor, and it's entirely preventable if you get, if you get your HPV vaccine at the right age. And, you know, there are lots of different types of this virus. There are lots of different strains of it, and we know at least 15 of them that can cause cancer. So, you know, the work is still going on, but we're doing what we can now to protect against it.
So the vaccine for HPV, does it protect against every type?
Unfortunately not. The one that we've got free on the NHS protects against 4 different strains, and 2 of those strains, numbers 16 and 18, if you're interested, are responsible for about 2/3 of the cervical cancers, and they're responsible for most of the cancers. So, you know, even just those 2.
Mm.
So it does cover a lot of them. There is a more expensive vaccine. There are a couple of others available that cover more strains of the viruses, but they're not available on the NHS, unfortunately. But you can buy them.
Mm-hmm. We'll do more with Dr. Stephanie in the next few minutes. This is Florence and the Machine.
Sometimes I feel
it is Cheshire Soot 106.9, Thursday morning. Dr. Stephanie Jones from Pinches Medical is with us, and we're talking about the HPV vaccine. Now, we said before, from September, it's boys in year 8 have been offered the vaccine.
Yeah, that's right.
So what happens if the boys in year now 9, or even older now, do they miss out, or can they still be vaccinated?
Yeah. So, for example, if you had a baby who missed out on their immunisations, you could do what they call catch-up and get them still free on the NHS. But unfortunately, there's no catch-up, as far as we know, for this one. So if your boy is past year 8 already, then they just missed it and they wouldn't get it on the NHS. But you can still buy it. It's still available for that age group and even older.
Is there an age limit?
No. I mean, the product itself is licensed from the age of 9 years.
Mm.
So anybody over the age of 9 years can have it. It's just that the NHS will only be able to prescribe it for certain age groups. You know, there are certain guidelines that we have to follow in the NHS. But obviously in private medicine, you're not limited by those. So we're only limited by what the product's information says. And gay men can actually get it on the NHS up to the age of 45. The idea of giving it to the younger children is because it would be ideal to be able to give it to them before before they embark on any sexual relationship and become exposed to the virus. Because obviously, you know, you want to get in there before they have any exposure, and then the vaccine will do its job.
So if you've been exposed to the virus, you've already had it, and you decide to have the vaccine, are there problems? Would there be an issue with that?
Well, there's no evidence that it causes any harm. We know that the vaccine protects you from more than one type of the virus. So depending on which type you had, it might not be able to protect you from the type that you've already had. But it would still be able to protect you from the other types. And the World Health Organization advice is just to give it. If you want the vaccine and you're suitable, just give it regardless of whether you've been exposed or not.
More from Dr. Stephanie very soon, talking more about vaccines. Dr. Stephanie, how do we reset our fitness this month?
Well, last month we were all talking about exercise, we're talking about taking it slow and setting yourself a goal, and this month it's all about diet. So same thing. I've done an article in the local People, if people want to have a look at that, and there's stuff on our website. But this is really when we're focusing in our cafe. And our chef has designed a new menu with loads of healthy options. So in Charles Row House now, the Art Cafe, we're looking at ways of cutting down bad fats and increasing your good fats. So do you know about good fats and bad fats?
I do, yes. Yeah.
What can you tell us?
I can tell you that chips and fried food, always bad fats.
Good. I'm glad you said that.
Even though they are delicious, always bad fats. And then your good fats are like your sort of monounsaturated, that kind of thing.
And lots of people have that same kind of understanding. So really, for most people, it's an understanding that kind of fat in general is a bad thing. Anything that you fry, it's got to be bad for you, right? But there's this thing called monounsaturated, polyunsaturated that's somehow good. And when we're not really too clear on that bit of it. So that's what we're trying to increase awareness of this month. And really, you're right. Chips and fried food have got these saturated fatty acids. So it's better to bake things than fry them. And so one of the things we're doing in the cafe is we're sprinkling tiny bits of oil and we're baking things. So we do chips for the first time. I was not sure about this, but they said, they persuaded me that it was going to be a healthier option, and they are. And I've had them and they're great. And have you heard of omega-3 and omega-6?
I've heard of them. It's something to do with fish.
Yeah, very good. Yeah. So you do find them in oily fish. They're actually protective against heart disease. So these things, you can actually take capsules of them if you want to. But these are naturally monounsaturated fatty acids. And some of the things that we find in avocados and eggs, nuts and seeds, and, you know, some seafood like fish, like tuna or mackerel, salmon, herring, lots of that stuff. And so some oils as well are higher in these polyunsaturated fatty acids, like sunflower oil and olive oil. So anything natural, you tend to find that's the things that have got the good fats in them. And they're the things that we need, and actually are protective. So, you know, if you are passing Charles Row House and you want to pop in, you know, feel free to pop in lunchtime, and maybe our chef will have a little chat through that stuff with you, because we're really keen to make sure that people understand that how you eat, and the types of foods you eat, you know, you can actually eat quite a lot of fat, as long as it's the right stuff.
Because I know it used to be, didn't it, that it was, you know, like you said, all fats are bad, just don't have fat
low
in your
fat
food.
Low-fat diet,
And the problem that you find as well, if you buy low-fat stuff like low-fat yogurts and things like that, they tend to have more sugar in. Because they could make up the taste. So effectively, it's not actually as
not
good
as
for
good.
You as you think it is.
It's not that good for you, So it's about balance. It's about sort of choosing healthier options, but it's also about awareness, so knowing what those options are and realising that you can have things that you thought were going to be bad for you. Like, people always feel like, oh, eggs, they're fatty. But actually, they're not as bad for you as you might have thought.
No, it's exactly right. Any other tips?
Well, it's not only about how you eat, it's not only about what you eat, rather, but it's about how you eat and the timing. So we talked last month about exercise. Obviously, exercise before a meal is good for you. You don't want to exercise on an empty, on a big full stomach. But at the same time, you don't want to make yourself faint over with hunger. So timing is really important, and exercise and food generate all these hormone changes in our bodies, and those hormones make us respond differently to the insulin we produce. So, you know, we actually manage our fats and the nutrients that we take in a different way depending on the timing of these things. So you have to experiment a bit and find out what makes you feel the best. And everybody's different as well. And if you want to, you know, come and talk to us about it, then we can give you some guidance on it. But, you know, trying to time your meals and workouts and gym sessions is really key.
Yeah.
The key thing really is that you need to remember any exercise is good for you, no matter how mild or easy it seems. And really, just we need to think about eating more healthily and moving more.
General rule of thumb, isn't it, to be honest? Yeah,
in general. And there are another couple of things I thought might be interesting. Did you knows? So did you know that you absorb iron from a meal better if you drink orange juice with it, or if you have anything that's got vitamin C, because it's the vitamin C in it that helps you absorb the iron?
Right, no, I didn't know that.
And at the same time, if you drink a cup of tea with your meal, that has the opposite effect, because the tannins in the tea actually bind to the iron in your meal and stop you from absorbing it. So if you have a drink of tea with every single meal, you're actually stopping yourself from absorbing the iron that you're ingesting.
No, I didn't know that. No, I bet nobody else did either. It's interesting, because like you said, we were talking off air before about breakfast. It's always a cup of tea,
cooked
it?
Breakfast always has a cup of tea alongside it. So you're really defeating the object. You really should have had a glass of orange juice instead.
Instead, absolutely. Yeah, that's brilliant. Well, thank you very much. Run out of time, but thank you for coming in. Informative as always. If people do need to get in touch, what's the best way?
Well, they can email this website, the Cheshire Silk FM website, you gave us the email address before.
The website address is silk1069.com, and there's a banner that says Pinches Medical. Click on that.
Yeah, and they can email through that, or you can just Google Pinches Medical and have a look at our website and find out more.
Perfect. See you in a month's time.
Yeah, thank you. Take care.